I just want to share to you real quickly this morning, because I don't have much time to share, but a fascinating passage, at least it was to me, as I was trying to, you know, you read the same passages over and over for Christmas, and so I read this passage, and it and these words kind of stuck out to me in a way that they hadn't before, and so I just want to kind of share them with you and talk about it a little bit. But actually, before I share that, I just wanted to share the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth. And if you could kind of think with me, the Bible says that they were both descendants of Aaron, which means they both kind of came from preachers' families. And they got married, and they were not able to have any children. And you know, everybody's lives are different, but I just want to kind of think through their life like I would think maybe their life would be. Now, in our day and age, some people decide, we're not going to have children. And but back then, everybody wanted children. Part of it was part of your retirement plan, but part of it was really a sign of God's blessing. And if you didn't have children, it was kind of a sign of God's displeasure, and it was shameful. And so I just started to think about what it would be like for Zechariah and Elizabeth. They're married, and I don't know how it was if you're married, what it was like for you. But you know, we always thought and dreamed, and you know, I wonder if they thought, well, we're going to have a big family, and wouldn't it be nice to have like three boys and three girls? Or, but then as their lives progress, they don't have any children, and I imagine at some point, because the Bible does talk about that the angel told them that God has heard your prayer. So apparently at some point they started to pray. And so, you know, you wonder what that prayer might have been like. You know, maybe early on, you know, God, just if we could just have one son. And because sons were kind of treasured or premium. And then maybe after a time, they stopped praying for a son. They just started praying for a daughter, any child. And but if you think about it, and you think about how long that they were praying, and at some point, I imagine they kind of gave up hope. You know, you start to get older. And so at some point, they probably gave up hope. And so I just now want you to imagine the Bible says that they are well along in years. And I'm curious, who in here thinks that would consider themselves well along in years? Raise your hand. I mean, don't be afraid. I just spoke with a lady today, told me that once you hit 91, you can tell anybody you want how old you are. And I imagine that's true, but the Bible says that they were well along in years, and so if you're willing to say, you know, I'm well along in years, I think you might think the idea of having a baby would not be a particularly pleasant option. But here, so I want you to kind of hear these words. So here's what I imagine from Zechariah and Elizabeth. They've spent most of their life when they were really able to have children or thought they would be able to have children praying for a child, and a child never came. And then they hit a place where there's no way they could have a child, and an angel shows up. And so this is what the angel says. I got a few slides. I'm just going to put them up. Can't see them? Oh, I can't see them. I notice you can see better from the back than you can from the front. But, well, here's what the Bible says. It says, the angel came to Zechariah while he was in the temple, and he said this: "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John." So he says, Zechariah, don't be afraid. One, because an angel showed up, so of course you'd tend to be afraid. He said, don't be afraid. Your prayer has been heard. And I think, when did God hear his prayer? I imagine that they had stopped praying that prayer a long time ago. So even as you see this story, you can realize that inside this smaller story of Zechariah and Elizabeth, it's a much bigger story. And one of the things that I think about with all of this is that God has a plan. Now, I tried to write this message in such a way that I didn't talk about kids, but I just felt like it was time to talk about children and about who they are and about what the possibility that exists in their life. I was trying to think about this. I know for our children, Caleb, unfortunately, he's probably had the hardest go of both of them, but he spent the first 6 days of his life in NICU, and we were praying, of course, that God would be with them. And you know who else came to my mind, Mac and Barb, when I was thinking about children and prayer? Is Margot. And how we prayed that God would protect her and watch her. But here's what I'm thinking about this idea that God has this big picture, and that we tend to think about the small picture. God, help my child to be okay. I remember when Caleb was having his heart valve replaced. I'm worried about his Air Force career. Now, I didn't want him to die, but he had finally figured out that he wanted to go in the Air Force as a linguist, and I was all for it. So I'm praying, God, you know, of course, help him to get through. But man, this, you got to do this for him. This is a great path. It's a great path. It's a great idea. I know you like it because I love it. And you just got to do it. And then the surgeon comes out afterwards and surgery went really well. But the valve was a mess. And so we had to put a mechanical valve in. And then it was just all the plans were gone. And again, for me, I want you to understand that God has this very big picture. And we tend to focus on the small picture, but God uses this small picture that we look at, and I think uses it for a bigger reason. And so I just wanted to read to you a little bit from Matthew chapter 18. And I want to read to you about what Jesus has to say about children. And I want you to think about the children we had here. And it's interesting. For a Christmas carol sing, Wilbur Spots was up here playing the piano. And I don't know how old he is. Anybody know? 46. And his mom was out in the crowd. And I just felt like I could see like a glow coming off her. Like she's just thinking, oh, that's my boy. Playing like Beethoven and just you know. And so whether you think about this kids or even your own children, whether they're 19 or 29 or 39 or 49, I was talking with this mother the other day and she was telling me about her son and just glowing about him. And as I was leaving, he happened to show up. So we were leaving. I said, oh, your mom was just telling me all these things about you. And I said, I hope you don't mind my asking, but how old are you? He says, 76. I'm like going, 76? And I didn't want to say it, but I was like, man, you're getting old. But anyway, take that back. I didn't even mean that. Okay, so here's what Jesus says about children. He says, see to it that you do not look down on one of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. I find that verse fascinating because the disciples are trying to keep the kids away. And Jesus says, see to it that you do not look down on any of these little ones, for their angels always see the face of my Father in heaven. They always have an audience. They are highly important. But then he goes on to say this. He says, what do you think if a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away? Will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go to look for that one that wandered off? And if he finds it, I tell you the truth, he is happier about the one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. And then this is what Jesus says. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should be lost. And here's again what I was thinking in this contrast where here's the angel. The angel shows up and says, don't be afraid. God's heard your prayer. You're going to have a son. Call him John. And then he starts telling him all this stuff. He says, by the way, you are going to find great pleasure in him. And he's going to do this. And he's going to turn people back to God. And he's going to have the spirit and power of Elijah. And I imagine Zacharias thinking, we just prayed for a baby. We didn't pray for John the Baptist. We didn't pray for a forerunner to Jesus Christ. We just prayed for a baby. And so I'm thinking about this huge picture, and one, this big picture here for our children is that the biggest thing, the most important thing, is that none would be lost. And that we used to use that word a lot in church, but I'm reminded of, and I read this in the book, so the reason I think about it, but he talked about things being lost. He says, you can have a perfect set of car keys. I mean perfect. It can start your car automatically, can do all kinds of stuff, can, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it, but if you don't have them, they're worthless. And so it's the same thing here where God gives us this incredible treasure of children and grandchildren. And he wants them to be found, that they would know him personally. And so so I think that this is so important. And so one of the things that I just wrote down here today is this, that God has a place for your child's story in his story. God cares about you and he cares about our children, but his primary care, his primary concern is they not be lost. Just a couple other thoughts before we close. And this is not just thinking about our children, but thinking about our children too. Again, I think about Zechariah and Elizabeth and they're praying. And I imagine everybody here, or most people here, are probably praying about something. You got something big going on in your life. And so I want you to just think about that for a moment. And then just think about this, with the way that they prayed, and 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 then they get old, and then God says, I've heard your prayer, you're going to have a baby. So I want you to think about your praying, and how God is working in your life, and how maybe you feel like God has kind of let you down in your life. And then I want you to think about this thought. Maybe God wants to use your biggest struggle, concern, disappointment or failure to make an eternal difference. And again, a lot of times I think we just think about stuff immediately. We just think about our child's immediate safety or whatever. But, you know, more than just Margot making it through that surgery, I think, well, what about the rest of her life? I think God has a great plan for our children. But one of the things he told Zechariah and Elizabeth, he told them this great plan, and he says, you know, I don't want them to ever drink wine. I don't want them to ever do this. And he says, and that's your responsibility to help them. So I'm thinking, just what an incredible privilege God gives us with our children. And it isn't just that, hey, they grow up and be this or be that or be rich or be good looking. I mean, I want all those things for my family. Camille put in her Honor Society thing there. She wanted to go to college and something, find a good man. And we all have dreams for our kids. And that's one of them for me. But I think that's not all I want for her. I don't want her, one, to be lost, but I want her to, God has this huge picture of making a difference in the world, and I want my children to experience that. And so I hope that's the same kind of prayer that you have. And even for you right now, if you're going through something and you're praying and it seems like God isn't answering, maybe there's a bigger picture behind what you're going through. Even if it's suffering. Even if it's difficulty. You know, God, I think the one thing that we really need to know, especially if you're a believer in God, is that God loves you. And he does hear your prayer. And one of the things for me right now that I want in my life is I want to know what's true and I want to live that way. I mean, I grew up with some certain thoughts and ideas that were just not right. And I think now at this point in my life, I want to know what's right and I want to live that way. And I hear the angel saying, your prayer has been answered. And I think about what the Bible says about Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. If you really want to know how to live, Jesus is how you live. If you really want to know God, Jesus is how you know God. And so I think this incredible kind of bigger picture behind our smaller picture that we always tend to focus on, and we think, oh, especially for our kids, oh, I want them to do this, and I want them to graduate high school. And I can still remember my dad was very sick from when I was very young. And my goal was I wanted him to see me graduate. And then I wanted him to see me graduate. I wanted him to see me get out of the army, and then I wanted him to see me graduate college, and then I wanted him to see me get married, and then I wanted him to see me have kids, and he saw all of them, thank the Lord. But I'm thinking those are all kind of small picture things. You know, and inside all of that, God is doing something better. You know what? And I think even for my father, he would probably look and say, you know, my dad was not heavy on compliments and stuff like that, encouragement. But he'd probably say, I'm thankful for all those big things, but that God would use him would be something so much more important to me. So even for you, I think if you're going through something and you're praying and you feel like God's answering, and maybe you're not going to have an angel come to you, but that God can say, even in Jesus Christ, your prayer has been answered. What you need, you have, I can provide. But the problem is, just because it's available doesn't mean we all partake in it. So I think sometimes God has this out there and he's longing to have us come to him, to not be lost and to know him personally. And for so many of us, we just think, you know what? What's important to me is this little piece. What I'm thinking about, where I'm going, instead of the big picture. So anyway, that's my little sermon for today. But one of the things, again, that I think about, especially if you have kids or if you have grandkids. I mean, Dylan was rocking it right here, by the way. And I'm just thinking, what is in their future? What is in your kids' future? And I thought, you know what? I need to do a better job of saying, man, God has something incredible for your life, and I want to help you reach it, whether they're 5 or 15 or 25. And so I know that God has a plan. And so again, I just think, man, but it seems like life can be so confusing. You heard my prayer. What do you mean you heard my prayer? I prayed that prayer 25 years ago. But God, again, has a bigger plan. So I want to pray for you. And I particularly want to pray for you if you're going through a struggle right now and you're wondering, and I heard somebody say this to me one time, said it in front of me, God, why aren't you listening to me? That God does love you and he is listening. And sometimes the prayer comes a lot farther down the road than you ever think. And but God does have a plan. Okay, so if you'll stand with me and are we going to sing a closing song? What? Okay, so praise team, if you'll come up. I think we forget to think about and thank the praise team. They minister every Sunday. And well, let me take a minute and pray for us. Heavenly Father, I think about the incredible gift that you've given us in our children, in our grandchildren, for some, and nieces and nephews. And Father, for some, maybe they don't have children, but Father, there are children in their life that they can invest in. I just think about the potential. And I just think about Jesus' words, and he says, he wants none to be lost, but he goes on to say later in that passage, woe to those who would cause these little ones to sin. And so, Father, I would pray this Christmas that you would help us, particularly those with, again, children and grandchildren, that you would help us to realize what an incredible privilege that we have and what an incredible responsibility we have to help them to know you personally and to really instill in them the belief that God loves them and cares for them and they are worthy of love and belonging and that you got a plan. Father, thank you for the church and what it can mean in the spiritual development of our young people. But Father, even for me, I pray that you'd help us to see that there's even a bigger picture. We don't just have influence with our children when they're this age, the way we saw this morning, but even later in life. So Father, help us always to live and walk as in a way that'd be pleasing to you. Help us to be great examples. Help our lives to draw their lives to you. Thank you again for your great love, and thank you for the chance just to be together and sing about it and praise you. And Father, we pray as we go and as we pray about the kids as they fellowship together, that they would just learn to love and appreciate their time in the church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.